Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Looking for some place to host your website? Or maybe you already have a host and are looking for a better deal? Then check out AnywhereHost.com. AnywhereHost.com offers 24/7 live technical support, a 99.99% network availability guarantee, and with packages starting as low as under $10 a month, you can see why hundreds are making the move to AnywhereHost.com. Visit the website for all the hosting packages available at AnywhereHost.com or call toll-free at 1-888-863-4383. That's 1-888-863-4383.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome to Subject to Discussion, courtesy of the Logic and Broadcasting Network, presented live on LVRocks.com every Wednesday in its new time at 7 o'clock Pacific, which is 9 o'clock Central if you're in Chicago, which my White Sox beat the hell out of Boston Red Sox two games in a row, so they're on a roll, they're heading towards Boston, so hope is alive, keep hope alive in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? And it's also at 10 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast. And also, the program is podcasted on LVRocks.com. Click on podcasts up on the upper left-hand side of the screen on LVRocks.com. Takes you to where all the programs are podcasted there, and you can pick and choose the programs you want to listen to at your pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank Papa Joe Chevalier for the lead-in, so I appreciate him being on the program, and he's a legend. He also played that Sweet Home Chicago about the South Side, so God bless you, Papa Joe. Keep playing that damn song, you know? Got to help the White Sox. And tonight's guest will be, in a little bit, will be Mark Edwards of the Wake Up American Foundation. And he's a legend in Las Vegas broadcasting. He broadcasts on KDWN usually every during football season. It's every Monday, Monday through Thursday from 10 till midnight and after football season. And he is the show will come back after football season on Fridays. So. And so we look forward to talking to him. And in the second hour, we'll open up with our political sports report with Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfant. And then we'll end the program with a review of the Battlestar Galactica magazine, which we have here, courtesy of my sister, because the magazine costs $7. And I refuse to spend that kind of money on a magazine, but it's a lovely magazine. So, and other than that, I once again want to thank Papa Joe for the lead-in, and I welcome him to LVRocks.com. Where's my pizza, by the way? But oh, no, that's Papa John's, right? I get those two mixed up all the time. And, of course, the White Sox are doing well. God bless them. You know, don't, the only sports team in major league team with a manager that can't speak a word of English, and they're doing well, so more power to them. And also I want to mention about Raw, WWE Raw being back on USA Network with McMahon's. Good. That's always good. 3 hours. It did great. I hated the SmackDown part, but that's all right. And then I also had some news I want to talk about. The Royals are coming to town, coming to Washington, D.C. Prince Charles and Camilla are coming to D.C. And it's, of course, it's also called AKA Hollywood for Ugly People. So they'll be coming in to have lunch and dinner with the Bushes. And then they're going to, I don't know where the hell they're staying, but they're staying somewhere around D.C. And then also the big news before I was leaving home was Katie Holmes is pregnant with Tom Cruise's baby. So stop the presses. Where's the Fox News? Boom, boom. You know, what's all the break-in music? You know, let's cover that wall to wall. Yes, Katie Holmes is pregnant with Tom Cruise's baby. So, and let's start with a little news to you. I've got my Mark Edwards questions all ready to go. So hopefully he is calling in. I sent him several messages throughout the week, so I'm sure he will be on the program. I also have this from the search ends with 964 Katrina dead in Louisiana. The search for Hurricane Katrina victims has ended in Louisiana with a death toll of 964 people. And more searches will be conducted if someone reports seeing a body. Oh, that's nice. You know, oh, there's a body. More start do more searches. State and federal agencies have finished their sweeps through the city. And then I saw on CNN today that the structures, I worry about the structures of the city, the buildings, and also the mold problem is a big issue. And the FEMA did nearly 23,000 thorough room-to-room searches in New Orleans with about a dozen teams of emergency workers. So, and then Mississippi's death toll remains at 221. So, and there was an elementary school. It was the first Catholic school reopened in New Orleans, St. Andrew the Apostle. So, let's see, starting to get back into gear. And then what about that mayor, that clown, Mayor Nagin? I mean, what's his problem? I mean, he's under Birkin, they're laying off 3,000 workers. Yeah, I found it strange. They find enough money to put up a banner behind him that says, Save New Orleans Now, wherever the hell it is. How much did that thing cost? You know what I mean? Yeah, why doesn't he take a cut in pay? He's that busy flying in helicopters, Oprah, you know? But, what's wrong?
Oh, you got to change your name in the chat.
I did. What did I put down? Shauna Mack.
Oh, who's dog catcher then?
I don't know who's dog catcher.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, then we had the mayor announcing about the layoffs and everything in New Orleans. And then we had six dead of unknown illness in Canada. This is from the, what's with these all these old people? You know, first we had that boat went over in New York, you know, killing all those seniors. And then we had the nursing home flooding in New Orleans and that bus blown up in Texas, killing all those senior citizens. What's going on here? Six dead of unknown illness in Canada. An unknown respiratory illness has struck an Ontario nursing home, killing six elderly patients, including two announced on Monday, and infecting at least 79 residents, employees, and visitors. What kind of respiratory illness could that be? Legionnaires? Toronto public officials are monitoring 170 people connected to Seven Oaks Home for the Aged. Oh, that's nice. In Scarborough, a bedroom community just east of Toronto. Toronto had that big breakout of the SARS, too, I remember. So, I mean, overnight deaths of two women aged 95 and 79 brought the number to six people who have died from respiratory illness. So, you know, it says renewed fears of SARS. So maybe it is SARS. SARS is a severe acute respiratory syndrome, which claimed 44 lives in Toronto in 2003, result of all that PR business that they were doing. So, we will see about that. And let's see here. Fed officials sound alarm over U.S. inflation. United States U.S. inflation is running close to the Federal Reserve's danger zone, Dallas Fed President Richard Fisher said, suggested that the central bank will keep hiking interest rates. Well, what the hell? The inflation's going crazy. Why the hell are you hiking the rates? You know? Another Fed official said policymakers would be alert to surprises in inflation. Well, I'd say $3 a gallon for gas is a big enough surprise for everybody. Combine the energy spikes with spending increases by governments at every level in the aftermath of the two hurricanes, you have and you have new demand pressures adding to the old ones. So, oh man, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know why Bush can't get on the horn to Saudi Arabia and get them to cut the price of gas $15 a barrel. I mean, you know, these are buddies and everything. Why is it he should do that or something? Now they see they got the energy hog on TV now. I was watching O'Reilly. And Energy Hog is now, and he's a new cartoon mascot for the Energy Department of Energy, how there's an Energy Hog is trying to get the American people to cut back on energy use. So, and you know, they're going to trot out all those old campaigns that Carter used for the, when you know, he said keep the temperature at 78 the whole time and everything else, so wear your sweaters. I think they're going to trot all that back out again. The economy gets another inflation warning. This is from today. The economy received another inflation warning on Wednesday when a survey of industry executives showed that energy costs drove prices higher in September while business activity slowed in the services sector. The report reinforced expectations that the Federal Reserve would continue to raise rates as the economy struggles with rising fuel costs aggravated by Hurricane Katrina. So keep raising the prices. You know, we all get horses and start riding them to work now. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Let's see. This is from yesterday. Police say a man tried to sell HIV-infected blood to a blood bank in Boise, Idaho. Was anybody living in that state? I don't know. I didn't think there was anybody up there, but I guess there are. Boise police confirmed that they've arrested Kyle Rich of Meridian for knowingly attempting to sell HIV-infected blood to a local blood bank. Police arrested Rich September 30th. They say his blood tested positive for HIV. He donated his blood at a plasma center in Overland. You know, he knowingly had HIV and tried to sell the blood anyway. I mean, this is ridiculous. The Plasma Center Vice President of Operations Eric Siegel said that he said that Kyle Rich appears to have misled Plasma Center workers. No kidding. You know what I mean? Crazy. Then we have Brazil seeks to punish United States for subsidies. This is from the Associated Press today. Brazil will seek final World Trade Organization permission to retaliate for illegal U.S. cotton subsidies, Brazil's top trade lawyer said on Wednesday. Decision to pursue retaliatory measures comes after Brazil reserved the right in July to impose $3 billion in annual countermeasures to punish the United States for its aid to cotton farmers ruled illegal by the WTO. Initially, I request Brazil asked the 148-member WTO to allow it to increase import duties on certain U.S. goods to penalize the United States for failing to sufficiently change its export programs. So the big hullabaloo over that is the government's given $12.5 billion in subsidies to American farmers, cotton farmers. So that's what that's all about. They're saying that the United States shouldn't be doing that or artificially propping up that industry. So at WTO, I mean, and NAFTA, I'm all for free trade. I don't know. I mean, some of that needs to be renegotiated probably, but this next one is also from Wednesday. Earthquake hits Indonesia's Aceh province. This is the area that got wiped out by the tsunami. A strong hurricane earthquake rocked Indonesia's tsunami-ravaged Aceh province on Wednesday, causing panicked residents to flee their homes and run to higher ground for fearing a tsunami. But there are no immediate reports of serious damage or threat of tsunami. The magnitude 5.6 quake was centered about 30 miles of the southeast of their provincial capital, Banda Aceh. So, I mean, that area just keeps getting hit with storm after storm. There's an air hurricane brewing off the coast of Florida, I believe. It's Hurricane Tammy, I think it is. Tammy Faye Mesner? Tammy Faye Baker? I don't know. So we'll see about that. Eight involved in Hurricane Katrina money fraud scheme. This is from yesterday, Tuesday. Bakersfield, California. Eight Bakersfield residents are facing charges that they are involved in a fraud scheme aimed at taking money intended for victims of Hurricane Katrina. In announcing a series of arrests that started last week, the FBI says some of the suspects work for a Red Cross call center in Kern County and some are aid recipients. A manager at a Red Cross call center said authorities became involved after employees reported finding suspicious claims. Oh, I'd say so. The FBI started investigating, found an unusually high number of disbursements in Bakersfield compared to the rest of the state. So, I mean, it's already happening. They're starting to rip off the money for Katrina. Yes, I say you need like an inspector general, somebody with credibility, credentials, like Colin Powell, Norman Schwarzkopf, somebody like that that has the cojones to lower the boom on some of this crap that goes on with all this money. So, and we had a story from Tuesday about a baby pulled from dying mother's womb, released from hospital. It's from Oakland. An infant girl pulled from her dying mother's womb after a freak accident is back home with her family tonight. Daphne Adriana Cruz was released from, I wonder if she's related to Rolando Cruz, I don't know. Daphne Adriana Cruz was released from Children's Hospital in Oakland today. She was delivered by emergency cesarean section on December 15th after her mother was crushed against a wall by her own sport utility vehicle. What's going on? 32-year-old Adriana Cruz died the same day. Doctors say the infant, born about a month prematurely, was in intensive care for a couple of weeks but is now gaining weight. The police believe the Cruz's death was an accident. She reportedly had released her car's parking brake from the outside before getting in. How the hell do you do that? And it rolled forward, pinning her against a wall. That's a freaky accident, isn't it? Jeez. How'd you have to go like that, you know? No way. This is from Collier County in Florida. This is horrible. Collier County Sheriff's Office arrests 14 men in gang rape case. This is from Monday from Wink TV in Fort Myers, Nevada, Florida. From Immokalee, an 18-year-old Immokalee woman says she was kidnapped and sexually assaulted by 14 men over the weekend. What is this? We got the priests doing this. I mean, we got these clowns in Florida doing it. She was recovering from her physical wounds, but the emotional wounds could take much longer. No kidding. She was bleeding, said a neighbor who the alleged victim ran to for help. She got blood on her shirt because they bashed her nose. She told me someone opened her mouth and put some beer in her mouth. I mean, this is horrible. The police department's calling it one of the worst sexual assaults they've ever seen. According to the police, the weekend's victim was kidnapped by several men after answering a knock at the door. The report says that she was brought to a trailer at the 800 block of Rebecca Avenue when she was restrained, choked, and sexually assaulted. Wow. That's horrible. Horrible. And then that follows up with the my favorite topic, priest and music teacher accused of sex abuse. This is in Tampa, Florida. Well, Florida again with all these things. You know, they got all that girl that got killed and now all this. Two more lawsuits have been filed against Tampa's Mary Help of Christian School, accusing a priest and a music teacher of sexually abusing boys in their care. Eight suits now have been filed since 2002 accusing priests or teachers of child molestation. Horrible, horrible. One says the plaintiff enrolled in the school in 1980 for the sixth grade. 20 more occasions starting in September 1982. A music teacher sexually abused him. Oh, my God. The second abuse says the plaintiff enrolled in the school in 1989 in the sixth grade. After catching the boy urinating behind the school, a priest called him to the back of the altar and prayed while he fondled the boy, the suit says. Lovely, lovely childhood memory, I say. Both suits say the plaintiff suffered psychological damage. No kidding. Each seeks a more than 5 minutes. I hope they wipe out the damn church. You know, this is. I was supposed to have the David Clohese on. But from the SNAP, the survivors of sexual abuse by priests. But then Mark Edwards, I thought I'd bring him on this week, and we'll have Mr. Cohesi come on next week so we can get to the bottom of this priest sex abuse scandal that's still going on. Falling TV crushes Big Island baby. This is in Hawaii. An 11-month-old girl was killed after a TV fell on her. You know, how did this happen? You know, how did the TV fall on this girl? A baby was in the living room by herself when a 27-inch set fell. The baby was taken to the hospital where she later dies. She was crushed by a 27-inch TV falling over and crushing her. You know, did she reach up and pull the TV down on top of her? Are you strong enough to pull a 27-inch TV down on top of you? I don't know. Or does the TV just go over on its own? You know, maybe somebody pushed it? I don't know. So, we'll see. Getty Museum to return disputed artworks to Italy. This is a story I had last week, but the Getty Museum in California buying these artworks and everything. To under suspicious circumstances, some of it was stolen artwork from Italy, and the museum went ahead and bought it anyway. But the Getty Museum is to return disputed artworks to Italy. The J. Paul Getty Museum, oil man, filthy rich oil man, Getty Oil, one of the world's richest art institutions, has agreed to return to Italy three archaeological treasures its curator is accused of having acquired, knowing they were looted. The culture minister said he was sending an official to L.A. to pick up the works. He wants the Getty to return the rest of the 42 disputed Italian art treasures it has in its collection. Wow. That'll wipe out that museum. The museum's not that big. The museum's on a hill, hillside. You're driving through there. It's on the right, and you have to drive up a long drive. I get to the damn museum, and it's a very small place. Like, it's like a mansion turned into a museum. They denied charges, and the Getty has defended her, so I don't know, they're covering up. Man sentenced again for dumping human waste. An East Shore man ran waste disposal company. An East Shore man faces more jail time for illegally dumping human waste in a roadside drainage ditch. That's lovely. The Attorney General in Maryland identified the man. Sixth Circuit Court judge recently sentenced Atkins to a jail term of 6 months in addition to a one-year sentence dumping waste in the damn drainage ditch. What the hell? You kidding me? You know what I mean? According to the guy, legally dumped the waste in a drainage ditch along some road in Maryland. I mean, ditch ultimately drains into the Wicomico River. I mean, it's a big river. People swim in there, and they're swimming through crap and urine and everything. Yeah, man. Mark Edwards will be in at the 7:30 mark in the program. Yeah, so, and yeah, hopefully he'll be calling in. I did talk to him, and I talked to his assistant, so let's hope so. This is earth-shattering news. Actors Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt put their California house on the market. I think I'm going to put a bid on this place. What do you think? Actors Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, whose highly publicized divorce. Speaking of that, I work at Caesars, and I did see Ashley Simpson at the hotel. I actually shook her hand and wished her happy birthday Sunday at the hotel. She was walking through the hallway where I work, and I was like, oh, I saw the camera crew. I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, man, this is Ashley Simpson. I'm stuck in this mess. So I turned around and said, happy birthday. So I shook her hand, wished her happy birthday. And she was a very blonde, I should say. And she was, and so was this BS about this reality show. The reality show is not is totally scripted. They had everything down to the minute. You know, she's they filmed her going coming into the hotel at 3:30 in the morning. They filmed her going into the beauty salon at the hotel. They filmed her going to the shops at the Caesars and the Forum shops to buy clothes or anything. So I don't know. And her sister showed up, apparently, her sister showed up without her wedding ring on. Jessica Simpson showed up, so that's the hot gossip here. Maybe the Vegas S&M guys have to scoop on that tomorrow. But, yes, so supposedly she showed up, and they had pictures without her wedding ring on. So, and this next one, I got to finish this off here. Pitt and Aston bought the 10,000-square-foot house for about $13 million, and now they want $28 million for this mansion. So I'll put in about a $10 bid on the house. I think I'll get it, huh? Alleged road rage incident causes 14 accidents. This is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Oklahoma. No, I don't think I want to sing that. A former Oklahoma City Police Department employee was arrested Friday morning after she allegedly caused 14 accidents from I-240 to the I-44 northbound. What the hell? Victoria Twiggs will face felony charges, including assault with a deadly weapon and leaving the scene of an accident and eluding police. Drivers along the interstate reported a driver ramming cars and taking off at about 8:30 a.m. They believe that Twiggs initially got in an accident on the I-240, left the scene and slammed into four more cars before backing into a police car. The police threw down stop sticks twice, and she then finally used a tactical maneuver to get her off the highway. They rammed her, probably ran her off the road. This one guy said, "I just crossed the light," and then getting rear-ended by an SUV. They say that Twiggs, woman that plowed in all these people, might have been under the influence of drugs or alcohol. No kidding. Might have been. You know, any normal person would just ram their car into 14 people. You know what I'm saying? And where are we at here? Man accused of raping boys. What is these stories? Raping boys he taught in his home. Police pictures, journals of acts found in home. This is in Rocky River, Ohio. A Rocky River man is accused of raping two young boys in a school he ran from his home. This jackass was indicted Wednesday on 25 counts of rape and 9 counts of disseminating matter harmful to children and corrupting children with drugs. Bad. This guy ran a school from his apartment. I mean, what are these parents doing, taking their kids to an apartment? I mean, what the hell? It's not a school. This guy ran a school from his apartment where the two children, ages 11 and 12, are dropped off to be taught. The boys are autistic. Oh, man, not only did they have a problem with that, now I got this idiot, this jackass, you know, raping them. I mean, this guy, he was arrested in August after he wanted to write a blog for the Lakewood Library. What the hell? Officials noticed something was wrong. I notified Rocky River Police. I don't know what the hell is the crime with writing a blog. I mean, but they raided the guy's house and found journals. They described the sex acts performed with the boys, and pictures of the acts were found on his computer. Ugh. Sick. The victims were so helpless they could never tell anyone what happened. Ew. The school he ran from his apartment is called Class Cutters. This guy's website, and parents chose the curriculum in the school for unique children. The prosecutors believe there may be more victims. This guy has a history of working with children dating back 10 years. So, man, that's horrible. Horrible. Pervert bastard. I hope they fry him. You know what I mean? This is also from Sunday. The Democrats agreed to add states to the early primary. Democrats trying to change their party's presidential primary calendar in 2008 have agreed to allow at least two other states to join Iowa and New Hampshire in voting during the opening days of the nominating campaign. The expansion was debated for a commission considering changes in their primary calendar. It is intended to give more racial and geographical diversity to the early days of the process, now dominated by Iowa and New Hampshire. Well, I can understand the thing with tradition, but I don't understand. I don't like that with all the damn things. The primary states were all lumped together in these Super Tuesday, Super Thursday, Super State, whatever the hell it was. Spread it out. I mean, we need to hear what these candidates believe in. And string it out. They got enough money coming in to support these campaigns. Drag them out. You know what I mean? What else? What was Dick saying? You got stuck in that mess. You sure didn't go out there especially to see her. No. No, actually, I was walking along. Well, the cameras did attract me. I don't know what the hell was going on. I finally saw it was Ashley Simpson. So I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'm going to go over and get my, see if I can get my 2 minutes of fame on MTV and shake her hand, wish her happy birthday. So it was all altruistic on my part. So, plus, and she looked pretty hot, too. She's not as ugly as everybody thinks she is. So anyway, back to the story about the Democrats. Somehow sexy blondes and Democrats kind of go together, you know what I mean? Especially with Ted Kennedy, you know? No. Democrats agree that it's important that the early start of part of voting be dominated by personal door-to-door politics where candidates can't compete without spending a lot. Absolutely. Absolutely. More retail politics is what we need. We need to get to know these people, what they're going to do before they get in office. And what about that Margaret, what's her name? Hell, her name is Harriet Myers. I checked her out. I mean, she looks like she's pretty qualified to me. You know, she was never a judge, which might be a good thing. She has more real-world experience. So by all means, I mean, so far I don't see anything wrong with her. So, bar made from Arctic ice opens in London. This is on Saturday. A chilly bit of Scandinavia is coming to the heart of London's West End Saturday with the opening of an Absolute Ice Bar. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. A bar made entirely out of ice. Right down to the art on the walls and glasses for the drinks. Situated next to the accompanying but room temperature below zero restaurant, the bar is kept at a minus 23 degrees Fahrenheit year-round. For a cover charge of $22.20, no less, you know, 20 cents, you gotta hit that 20 cents, patrons are given a thermal cape, thick gloves, and a glass made of ice before entering the second of two airtight doors designed to keep the heat out. So, that doesn't sound bad. We should have one here in Vegas. I mean, they have everything else. This would work perfect in Vegas. Imagine in 120 degrees, you go in this place and you have to put on a burqa and everything else. So, this Stockholm-based franchise launched the first ice bar in Sweden and blah, blah, blah. So, I think we need one here in Vegas, you know? This next one's also from Saturday. The Federal Aviation Administration approves O'Hare expansion plan. The FAA announced Friday it has approved a $15 billion project to expand the delay-plagued O'Hare International Airport, which is referred to as Orchard. You go to fly in and out of O'Hare, the tag on the luggage says ORD, and that means it used to be Orchard Field, what it used to mean. Orchard Field, ORD used to be Orchard Field. So O'Hare is now cleared for takeoff, the FAA administrator said on a teleconference from Washington. So the construction started immediately after this was put down. So the FAA had informed the city before making the announcement, and the city had heavy equipment already in place. Yeah, that'd be pretty good, huh? They're going to displace 500 homes, displace about 2,600 residents, moving nearly 200 businesses and a cemetery with 1,300 tombs dating back to the 1800s. So that means there's a city there. There's a little town there. What the hell's the name of it now? That's going to kill me. There's a little city, a little town that runs alongside O'Hare. I think that city is biting the dust. Elk Grove Village. Elk Grove Village is where John Wayne Gacy lived. Westmont, I think it is. There's a, I'll come to me, but there's a city alongside the airport there, and that city's going to come to an end, I think, because the runways are going right through that city. So, and this is from Friday. San Jose police investigating death of a toddler left in car. San Jose police are investigating the death of a 2-year-old girl who was allegedly left inside the car at her Taper Lane home. What's with these people? How can you forget your child's in the back of the damn car? How can you forget that? I mean, what the hell? You know, police were called at approximately 8:50 p.m. Thursday to the house. Toddler was left inside the car in the garage with the air conditioning running. When the parents returned to check on her, she was unconscious. What were they doing leaving a damn kid in the car? She was pronounced dead at the scene by rescue agent units. I mean, what is this? I mean, how can you? They passed a law here in Nevada, which absolutely that parents leave their kids in the car are going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I agree. How can you forget your child's in the back? Don't you look through the mirror? You can't see your kid when you're pulling in. You're looking in the rear mirror and see your kid in your rear view mirror, for Christ's sake. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And now they want cars with whistles that go off. They see moving whistle horns that go off in the car. I mean, why are we doing all this? You know, parents should be responsible for their own kids. Why are the automakers having to be responsible for parents getting their kids out of the cars? It doesn't make sense, you know? Hello, you know? These automakers should be just plowing more money into making these cars more fuel efficient and not worry about having horns and whistles going off. There's a kid in there, you know? So, police arrest Valley Man for exposing himself in public. This is from Palm Springs, California, where Sonny Bono used to be the mayor. Police have arrested a man they believe has been committing lewd acts in public all over the Coachella Valley. If you're a parent, it might be alarming you to know that a man was driving around exposing himself. This guy also had a family of his own. This guy pulled into a Circle K, and why not Circle K? Why not go to 7-Eleven and do it, you know? In La Quinta, we say he rolled down his window to stare at this girl and began touching himself. He is being charged with indecent exposure, lewd acts in public, and violation of probation. So, perverts. What's wrong with these people? Paintings from tsunami kids sold for charity. A Fresno doctor who treated tsunami victims in her native Sri Lanka hopes others in California will help the children affected by that disaster. This doctor, Dr. Denisha, bought 21 drawings made by children in one community, back to the United States. They're now on display at a Fresno museum. I thought they just had raisins up there, where people can buy them for $500 a piece. Man, what are these damn good paintings? They're $500 a piece. This doctor treated tsunami victims and blah, 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 blah. Where are the paintings for the hurricane people? You know what I mean? Yeah, I'd redirect that money. They got enough money over there in tsunami. You know, we need some money here to help those people in New Orleans and Florida and all that. So, well, I'm a little nervous. Pastor, you better call in. That's all I got to say. Oh, man, I hate this. Yeah, it's even on their website. I'm still looking at the website for Wake Up American Foundation. I mean, just see. Yes, Mark Edwards will be a guest on Subject to Discussion this Wednesday. 7 o'clock Pacific. All that's right? Right, the time's right. 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern. So it's on the website. So, and it is this Wednesday, right? This Wednesday, right? This is Wednesday.
Yes, Sean. Today is Wednesday.
I'm just making sure, anything can happen. So, oh, man. I hate this when they don't show up. I hate it, Maybe he's going to try calling in. Where's the damn light for this phone, too? You got it right there? Okay. I thought maybe it was blinking when we weren't seeing it because the light wasn't here or something. But anyway, anybody wants to call him with any news? We'll give a few minutes for Mark Edwards if he calls in. Damn it. Oh, well. This is from California as well. Salmonella cases reported in the Imperial Valley. The Imperial County Public Health Department says at least 19 people have been infected with salmonella poisoning. I have a story about salmonella poisoning. When I worked in Chicago, my first hotel in the Hilton Suites in Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois, we had a dinner theater next door to our hotel called the Drury Lane, and they had a Mother's Day banquet, buffet, whatever the hell it was, and they served chicken, family style, all right? You know, everybody's sitting with their families in the banquet room eating chicken. And now, well, 2 days later, a day later, all of a sudden, these people are calling up screaming about food poisoning. They're all throwing up. Well, they left the damn chicken sitting out too long. So all these people that had chicken all had food poisoning. You know what? So after that, I've never eaten chicken on the bone ever since. I just do not, because they said chicken on the bone, if it sits out too long, even if you fry it, you're still going to get salmonella. So that was disgusting. They shut down that dinner theater, I think the restaurants, for like 3 months where they cleaned out the kitchen, threw away everything, redid the whole kitchen and everything else. So
yeah, the bacteria count, once it gets up to a certain level, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sticks around.
As soon as I saw it,
horrible.
I found out what salmonella. It's the first I ever heard of salmonella. Back in the 80s, and then I go, salmonella. What's that? I thought it was fish. Salmon. I never knew what salmonella was. And they said, oh, it's chicken or anything. And food sits out so long it spoils, and you eat it and you get sick. I'm like, oh man, and a Mother's Day banquet, no less. Ugh. Anyway, this 19 people have been infected with salmonella poisoning. The department says cases have been linked with the popular Mexican-style cheese called queso fresco. What the hell is that? Purchased from street vendors or in bulk form from a Mexicali supermarket. The Imperial County Health Department reminds people to purchase packaged cheese. They make sure that they purchase from grocery stores and make sure they are prepackaged. They'll make sure that their family is safe. Salmonella is a bacterial disease. Symptoms are diarrhea, lovely, fever, and stomach pain that typically begins 1 to 3 days after being infected. Lovely, lovely. So I was also told that the 24-hour flu, there's no such thing as a 24-hour flu, that it's 24-hour flu is, 24-hour flu is actually food poisoning. So we'll see. So a store mistakenly sold diesel as unleaded gas. A 7-Eleven store says it is mistakenly sold diesel is unlike gasoline in midst of consumers' rush to buy fuel before Hurricane Rita reached shore last week. So this the 7-Eleven is selling diesel as regular gas. So, and that's ridiculous. And then this lady's car's fuel bill is nearly $500 in repairs. So I think our guest is on the line. Yeah. Mr. Mark Edwards is joining us. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And
hi.
I apologize for being about 5 minutes late. Broadcasters are not supposed to do that, you know.
No, that's fine, sir. That's fine, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. And first of all, give everybody an idea what the Wake Up America Foundation is all about.
Well, seems when I was a morning guy a few years ago, I've been doing broadcasting for about 45 years, and I made a comment about the illegal aliens one morning in this tent. Senator Harry Reid was listening to the program, unbelievable as it might sound, I guess over in Searchlight, Nevada. And the morning guy that I was with, I kidded him. I said, well, I said, you know, it was election time, presidential election time. And I said, we know that if you can, I'm paraphrasing now, if we were to holler Viva la Migra or the INS is coming or ICE is on the way right now around an election line outside of a voting polling place in Los Angeles, half the line would dissipate. And somebody after the program was over, a businessman in town here who has a car dealership, faxed me and said, Mark, he said, Harry's got your number. He's telling everybody that you're a racist. And what happened is Harry was interviewed by the Las Vegas Business Press, and Harry picked up the article and faxed it to me. And in the article, Harry said the guys that are on the morning with these racist comments. Now, I don't call that racist. I call it what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fact. There are so many illegals in the greater Los Angeles area that a lot of them don't have the right documentation, and a lot of them have phony documents, and yet they're still voting. It's going on everywhere in the country. And so, you know, I don't care who you are. If you come to this country through the front door, I'm all for you.
Absolutely. I say it, too. I mean, come in the right way, because what is it saying to these people to come in the right way if all these illegals are climbing over the fence? You know what I'm saying?
Right. A man I have on almost every, in fact, he's coming to town next week, and I hope that some of your people can come out to see him. His name is Mike Cutler. He's a former INS agent. He'll be in town from Brooklyn, New York. He'll fly in and then speak at our meeting, which is at Cashman Center downtown Las Vegas, at the clubhouse room above the ballpark there. And it's a nice room, and we can put about 300 people or so in there. So bring people out. It's something your audience would really get an education from, because this guy was what I call a been there, done that guy. He's over 30 years with the INS. He was in enforcement and everything else. He'd go around to employers, and you know, he's just done about everything since then. He has been on Lou Dobbs probably better than a dozen times. He's always on a radio station back in Madison, Wisconsin once a week. He's on with me every Monday night. And he's worth hearing. He has some great analogies that he draws to what we are facing here with this illegal invasion of people coming here without any documentation at all, without any medical checkups, bringing all kinds of things, and of course getting going right to the trough of welfare and everything else, any of the things that people get by coming here the correct way. They get and then some. He says, we're somewhat like, I'm going to paraphrase once again, he said, we're somewhat like a theme park. Everybody tries to get into a theme park for the rides, get some free rides. And if you took away the rides, and which he's talking about, the welfare and all the perks and everything, many of them would go home. And he's so right there. There's so many angles to this.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I work in several casinos throughout the years here in Vegas, and I had been working at the Rio until a few months ago. I've had people coming up to me. Oh, I'll give you $5,000 if you marry my sister from Mexico. That way, she can come into the United States a lot easier. I'm like, what is this? Yeah, it's the first time I've ever people ask me to, you know, please marry my sister and I'll give you $5,000. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I believe it. And of course, then you've got the anchor babies, which. Terry Anderson, who does the Terry Anderson show, and he's on with me once a week. I have him on Wednesday night. He says, he calls them jackpot babies.
Yeah.
They wait until they're in their ninth month of pregnancy and walk across the border, and suddenly they're American citizens. The 14th Amendment was not meant for that. It was for slavery.
Yeah. And then I have actually a question from the chat, a question from the chat room. What can the average American citizen do to get our government to act on this?
Well, being an activist is really the thing. I've learned that in the I've been a talk show host for a lot of years, but I just, in the last couple of years, really got into the illegal angles of what's going on in our country. I'm sorry to say I was one of those that was asleep at the wheel. The other night we celebrated in an offhand way the Monday night program. We celebrated the fact that 40 years ago the Ted Kennedy and young Bobby Kennedy and Humphrey and Lyndon Johnson, president, they signed into law this relaxing of the immigration laws, and we have suffered for 40 years, and now it's to the point of where 10,000 a night are coming across just in Arizona alone. What can you do? Back to the basic question you asked me. Mm-hmm. Write facts. Talk to people. Send messages to your friends. Pass any information you have along. There's so many websites to go to right now that are activists in them. I suggest you probably go to one of ours, and it'll link you to many others. We have thewakeupamericafoundation.com. It'll show you how to link to all different sites. And then we have a sister website, which is Unite to Fight. That's our action site, unitetofight.org.net or .com. Whichever way you pull it up, it'll come up. And my program clicks on there. You can listen to us about four nights a week, 10 to midnight. You told me you often listen.
Oh, absolutely. I was listening last night with the good news about Jim Gilchrist.
Isn't that marvelous?
Absolutely. And I agree with you. He should change his middle name to Minuteman.
Yeah. They managed to play their little games, which they do. The opposition plays those games. They stopped him from putting, as his occupation, Minuteman on the ballot. And said, no, you got to put CPA because that's really what you are. Well, he hadn't been a CPA for a couple of years. He'd been working as the founder of the Minuteman Project. So, but they were very much aware. They knew exactly what they were doing down there in California because they knew if they put Minuteman behind it. Those are magic words now. Most of the nation knows what happened last April for 30 days down on the border.
Yeah, I mean, and now, well, you had Hannity down there all week, and then they showed footage, I don't know if you watched it yesterday, of two illegals over in Mexico right by the fence there shooting up heroin around TV. They showed them doing the whole thing, and then they're waiting to climb over the fence.
Well, there's another fellow that I'm very close to. He has the California border, California Minutemen, and that's Jim Chase, a former Marine who was wounded six times in Vietnam, and he's got people down there all the time. I mean, there's always somebody down there, and you don't know where they are. They're playing it real cozy now because the opposition tries to disrupt the Minutemen with their coming out with, you know, and putting on exhibits and hollering and screaming and throwing things at everybody and what have you, and, you know, just making it bad for everybody. So he kind of hides out his people. He doesn't tell them what position they're going to be, which is an old service trick. If you've been in the Marine Corps or been in the Army and whatever, you know those things. He knows how to put them out there in the field where they don't know where they're at, and they change the position and they change the radio frequencies. And so the opposition, being the people who want open borders, and a lot of these groups like MALDEF, LULAC, La Raza is the first to call you or I a racist if we talk about this subject. But you don't have to take a lot of Spanish to understand what La Raza means. La Raza means the race.
Yeah.
And in my estimation, anybody who wears a jacket or shirt or something that says the race on it is a racist. Yeah. So it's really it's an erroneous thing to call somebody else who isn't calling themselves the race a racist just because we want you to come in the front door, not the back door.
Absolutely.
This is our house. This is the United States of America. I mean, some of them are still arguing about it at Salon and places like that. Well, for God's sake, let's forget all that. Are we going to give back New York to the Indians? Are we going to give back Alaska to the Russians? Are we going to give back the Louisiana Purchase? You know, there's an old saying in the world of law, you know, that buyer beware. And if you cut a deal, you got to live with the process of it, and you put it on paper, which they did. And in fact, we marched all the way to Mexico just to show them that we could, and we could have taken the whole country and handled it, but we didn't. We gave it all back and just took back the portion down here around Texas and what have you, you know.
Well, the border thing, that's what I keep saying on my program. I go, why can't we build this fence up and have them bring back the military from Europe and put them on that border there to protect, you know, stop this? I mean, it's ridiculous. The government won't lift a finger.
Well, some of them will throw out the Posse Comitatus Act, which means, you know, there's a stipulation that you can't, you got to be careful how you use them. But they could be used down there, just their presence alone. Mm-hmm. Look what the presence of this giant neighborhood watch, and that's all it is, called the Minuteman, is doing. It's disrupting the border activity up and down the border everywhere. And now they're moving down around New Mexico now, and there's a Texas group. Minutemen groups are growing all over the nation. We now have one in Las Vegas. We have about 35 in our spawned from our Wake Up America Foundation and Wake Up America Show and the UniteToFight.org website.
Absolutely. Now, what about Richardson? Now, Governor Richardson in New Mexico has declared an emergency down there with the illegal immigration. Now, we think he's doing that just to posture himself for election in 08, or is he really sincere?
Well, no, I'd beware of a lot of these people. They're chameleons. They're chameleons. They change their colors and change their stripes. And there is a bandwagon effect. You got to be careful. You got to watch them very closely. And politicians are somewhat like the Indian said; they speak with forked tongue often. You know. And beware. Look at Hillary Clinton is now bellowing about illegal immigration because she's posturing herself for a 2008 presidential run. But we all know what she is. And just beware. There are a lot of people that are finally waking up, though. So I don't want to speak with disparity about the average people out there, because I give Americans a lot of credit. In the 40s, Yamamoto was an admiral out in the South Pacific, and he warned Hirohito, who was the head of Japan in those days, who was a tyrant, beware, and I'm paraphrasing again, beware of the United States. They're a sleeping giant. And if you wake them up, they will be, you know, they'll be a problem. And, well, they woke us up, and we were a problem. And I think we are just beginning to wake up. About 50% of the nation knows what's going on now. There was a time when it was like 20 or 30%. But I think in just a year's time, I know we've made many strides with Congressman Tancredo and his immigration caucus. There were 71 when I got on board full-time. Saying that I was going to do this every night, talking about illegal immigration. So he said, how are you going to do that? Well, there's so many facets to it. There's the medical end of it, the hospital closings, the terrorism aspects. The list goes on and on. There's endless material to use. And I think the time is now. People are waking up. We now have 91, and they say they'll have over 100 congressmen by Christmas time.
Well, I hope so.
You know, and then along comes Gilchrist, along comes Commissioner Vasquez over in Idaho. He's running for Congress, and he's of Mexican descent, but believes you come in the front door, and that's the only way. He's running for Congress. There's Randy Graff running for Congress. There's look at these people's records. You asked, what can you do? Look at their records in these early elections when they're up, and try to get the question across through them if you have to. Write them, call them, fax them, call their offices. Use the 800 number. They change it quite often in Washington, D.C., but they have an 800 number that you can get any congressman or Senate's office. And they after a while, they start paying attention. Tancredo says, when he speaks, he often says, every time he goes back after a break, people will say to him in the hallways, congressman and senator, hey, Tom, what's going on? This is getting kind of wild out there. When we're back home and we want to talk about Social Security and Iraq, they want to talk about illegal aliens. He said, what's this all about? He said, Tom says, welcome aboard. He said, that's what the people want you to pay attention to. They don't like what's happening to their country.
Yeah, it's a big issue. I just wish more of the country would wake up to this problem, you know?
That's true.
I mean, especially, you know, like this show, I told you that this show appeals to a lot of, you know, bloggers and college-age students. I mean, they really don't see, you know, I tell them at work all about the illegal immigration. They look at me like I'm nuts, you know? They think I'm, you know, we're the black helicopters, you know, they can't, you know, I'm like, no, it's a real problem. You know, Lou Dobbs is talking about it, you're talking about it, O'Reilly talks about it quite a bit. I mean, I don't know, what's it going to take for the American people to get, you know, to snap over this, do you?
Yeah, I say this every night. I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Mm-hmm. But you got to look at it from a positive aspect. I'm the glass half full guy. I am preaching to the choir, but at that night, there will be some people going out and gathering some more choir boys and choir girls the next day and telling somebody at work, like you are. Yeah. And the first of all, they'll shake their head and say, oh, they don't realize it. And then they start looking around. One of the big indicators is telling them, hey, how many times do you pick up a phone for an office or a business and it says, if you speak Spanish, dial one. If you speak English, dial two. And I what's that all about? That we should be speaking our own language. Teddy Roosevelt said over 104 years ago that if we become a babbling nation, we will self-destruct. I'm paraphrasing once again. But he was so right, so on. Stand in a bank line sometime or any line that you have to stand in nowadays, and everybody's talking different languages, and you're starting to say, hey, they're talking about me. It makes people uncomfortable. I welcome them here, and I say, come on, have your piñatas and your parties and your mariachis and be proud of your flag, but fly our flag first and learn our language.
Absolutely.
And become an American first.
Yeah, and I English should be the official language of this country. I don't understand why it's not yet.
26 states now have made it that, and there's a push in Washington, D.C. now to at least have a resolution saying that it is the official language. I guess it's probably no secret. Any year I'll be flying out of here tomorrow going back to Wisconsin, and there's not an airport in the world that the towers do not speak English.
Yeah. I mean,
it's international now.
It's great. Yeah, and well, you're going back to see the Packers?
Yes.
No, absolutely. You're from Wisconsin?
Yes, I am. And, we're saying of all the years we picked out, the Packers are 0-4, but I'll guarantee you I think they're going to be 1-4, actually, you're supposed to say it that way.
Very good.
After New Orleans, because they've come so close so often, they're pretty banged up. But we're going back for the pomp and circumstances, and we're not. My wife is diehard Packers; she's all the way with them, and it's going to be nice.
Yeah, it's like me. I'm from Chicago, and I'm in my glory because of the White Sox are finally, putting a couple wins up on the board in the playoffs.
I'm very proud of them. I watched that today. In fact, we've got one eye as I'm talking to you on the Yankees and the Angels right now, and the Yankees are out in front, 1-0.
I kind of wish the Angels would pull it out because
I've been a Yankee fan since I was a little boy. Wow. So you can't call me a fair weather fan. But there's not been too many seasons when they weren't on top of the world too.
Yeah.
I go back to the Babe Ruth era and the DiMaggio and the list goes on and on. I think like anything else in life, there's certain teams and certain. You go with a winning team, and suddenly you become a winner. Maybe you've been a great ball player or you're a good person, and you go with a company, and that company's got a lot of class and vim and vigor. You kind of assimilate it, and you become part of it. I think once you put on the uniform of a Yankee, that kind of transforms people into maybe moving a step up. And there's other teams. There's businesses in life like that. I've worked for radio stations where when you walked in, you knew right away they were winners there. The whole place was full of, vim and vigor.
Well, I mean, KDWN, I mean, my God, you're a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame broadcaster, correct? And
45 years.
Ken Stahl, all you guys. I mean, it's great that the station's so behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to thank the lady who owns the radio station now. She does own the majority of it. And I have never seen her so embrace a subject like this. She's helped me when I've needed help. She allows me to speak out every night, four nights a week, five nights a week after football season. On Friday night, Kaydon always goes to football. It always has and probably always will. And so we'll be back to after football season with fifth night a week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great program. And I have actually a message that I was given from my website from Mike from Yuma, Arizona. He says, God bless you, Mark Edwards. The Minutemen down here salute you for your efforts. And he said, is there hope for us, Mark?
Oh, there's hope. There's more than hope. I mean, I'm seeing more and more words spoken around the countryside. I'm hearing more people being aware of it. We're going back to Wisconsin, and it's happening there, and my brother-in-law and everybody are aware of it back there, too. Somebody cut out a thing from Sparta, Wisconsin, where they busted an employer back there. It's everywhere. people are getting fed up with it and saying this is supposed to be homeland security. It's homeland insecurity.
Mm, absolutely. And then I see a question from the chat room. Is giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants in California, has that been the flashpoint in the battle?
Well, I'll tell you, I do think that he will veto that once they try to pull that off again.
Wow.
Being Arnold Schwarzenegger will veto that like he's going to veto the same-sex marriage thing, too.
Mm.
He said, and he's got to realize that if you do that, you'll be going against the general will of the people. And the general will of the people, the California Border Police is another one that I watch for that one to happen, too. He was on my program last night, Ray Haynes, Assemblyman Ray Haynes, and they have over 200,000. They're ahead of the curve as far as gathering petitions. They need about 598,000. They have over 200,000. Now they've hired professional petition gatherers, and they want to get about 900,000. So there's a lot of happening, and that's a state of 50 million people. That's a country unto itself.
Yeah, now can we start a third party with this issue as the focus of the third party?
It'd be interesting, but I don't know quite how you do it. I know that it's going to be interesting to see what Jim Gilchrist does, because he's up against the establishment down there. There's still people out there that believe, my God, I got to vote for my Democratic Party across the board, or I've got to vote for my Republican Party across the board. I was a registered Democrat when I was younger. Then I became a Republican. I have never voted strict party line either, registered under either way.
Mm-hmm.
I've always jumped the line over one. I pick a person, a man or a woman, on what their ability is and what their character and what they can do.
Yeah. Well, you see, I had a new third party. The founder on, his name is the American Centrist Party, and
yes.
they're kind of like the old Reform Party. They took some of these big issues like Perot did, like illegal immigration and the debt and all that. And I just wish we could get some help behind these third parties or unite behind one third party.
Well, I'm glad, Sean, what you're doing. We need the young people, and let me make a moment of plea to your younger audience.
Uh-huh.
You are tomorrow. You are the years to come. You are the people. I won't be long gone, and God knows, hopefully I'm looking down at you and smiling and saying, hey, they're doing it, man. They're turning it around. And every man, woman, and child out there of all ages should start being made aware of this. And it is not a racist issue. It's strictly a letter of the law. I ask people this when they say undocumented immigrants. I'll say, what part of illegal aliens do you not understand? They have broken the law to come here. They are illegal. Until you can manage to change that law, I will call them that.
Yeah. Now, actually, I have a comment from the chair room. They're wondering if having the NRA have shooting ranges along the border, would that help things?
That's pretty wild. Let me tell you, there are militant people out there that are getting fed up, and it's almost like the movie Network, if you saw that old movie.
Oh, yeah, mad as hell.
The guy sticks his head out the window and says, I'm mad as hell. Well, there are people out there, and I try to calm them down because I don't want to go the militancy thing. I think we can turn it around because I don't want to see the bloodshed in that. And there are people that would like to take it to the streets, and let's hope it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, which is too bad. I mean, because we have all these people, fighting for this cause. I hope these few, lunatics don't ruin the whole cause by going off and shooting people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, unfortunately, the press do pick up on those kind of stories.
Yeah.
In fact, our Unite to Fight, which we'll do again this year in Las Vegas at the Cashman, hopefully, God willing, the creek doesn't rise.
Mm.
Last year, we got a lot of publicity because of the bad happenings down at Baldwin Park, and that unfortunately the press, still being an old journalist, they still often work like Randolph Hearst started his newspapers with what they call yellow journalism.
Hmm.
14 people jump off a bridge and three men shot a little girl on the street tonight, and those things sell papers. So they, when the other side acts up, those that are in opposition to the immigration setup that we're talking about, the illegals that we keep saying stop the illegal invasion, and they keep saying, we're not illegal, we're fair, and this, that. And they start getting, every time they act up and cause a scene or get cops to come there at the moment, well, that causes more publicity, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's bad publicity, but it's making people, it works both ways. It cuts both ways. It makes people start looking a little deeper into why is that opposition down there, and why are these other people opposing them?
Yeah.
So it does have its positives.
Yeah, and I actually have a question from the producer, Mark.
Yes. Hey, Mark. This is Mark also. I was just wondering if you've ever really talked about this much. Bosnia with Slobodan Milosevic and everything that was going on over there, wasn't that basically the same thing but accelerated very, very rapidly as to what is going on right now to the United States?
Yeah, to a degree, you're right. And also was what they call ethnic cleansing, which is, you know, I know somebody that really has a theory that's really far-fetched. I'll throw it out to you. I hope we never in the United States see that happen. If we have a huge Hispanic population and a huge Islamic population, what do we have? We have ancient history repeating itself, Islam fighting the Christians.
Yep.
And we are allowing just too many people of both of those sides to come here. And there are whole Islamic communities already. And we have mosques here in Las Vegas. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, I'm
not against people. There are some peaceful Islamic people. I know a few, in fact. One of them I can communicate with is freemuslims.org out of Washington, D.C. You ought to go over there and see what they're about. They're trying to open up a dialogue with the communities all across the land that we are not like Al-Qaeda, you know.
Yeah. Once again, I was joined by Mark Edwards from the Wake Up American Foundation, .org.com, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And UniteToFight.org.
UniteToFight. And Mr. Mark Edwards, we're going to let you go. We're down out of our time for the segment.
Hey, thank you for inviting me, and let's have some of your people come to our meeting next Tuesday night at Cashman, 6 o'clock in the evening.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, sir. And once again, that was Mark Edwards of the Wake Up America Foundation.org.com, and we appreciate him being on the program. That was very good, huh?
That was really
good. A legend in Las Vegas broadcasting, so we appreciate him being on the program. I mean, 40 years in broadcasting. Wow. So anyway, I'll be joined in the second hour in a few minutes by Justin Gardner for our political sports report. And then we'll delve into the Battlestar Galactica magazine and hopefully get a couple callers in with some spoilers about the second batch of episodes. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Somewhere beyond happiness and sadness, I need to calculate what creates my own madness. And I'm addicted to your punishment.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. And once again, I want to thank Mark Edwards of the Wake Up America Foundation and KDWN in Las Vegas for being on the program. AM 720 KDWN, the home of course, Mark Edwards. You got Jim Dallas, Ken Stahl. They do the morning show, the Snooze Busters. You got Michael Savage on there. You got Michael Reagan. So we appreciate all them being on the program. And so now we'll be joined by our sports music. In just a moment, we'll be joining to launch a new segment on the program, the Political Sports Report. And no, not that one. That's where we're going to end it. The Fox Sports, you don't have it? Okay. Justin Gardner is joining us from the Dunkelfint blog. Justin, you there, sir?
Yeah, man. Hey, what's going on?
There you go. Welcome to the program. Sorry the first guest ran over a little bit because he was a few minutes delayed until he called in, so I kind of pushed him back a little bit. I do apologize for the mix-up there.
No worries, man.
And this is Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfint, and this is our inaugural political sports report we're going to have. And first of all, we want to talk about the two questionable plays this week about the Tom DeLay indictments, the two indictments this week.
Yeah, those were the second one kind of came out of nowhere. The first one came down, and I think that people were pretty much expecting that, especially since the Republicans were trying to get the rules changed so that somebody can be indicted and still be the minority leader. Mm-hmm. The majority leader, and that kind of failed, and they backed down from that, and now there's this other charge that is money laundering, which I'm not exactly sure how DeLay's getting charged with money laundering, but I know a lot on the left are cheering, a lot on the right are calling into question the prosecutor's kind of fervor for getting Tom DeLay indicted. But he had to put this stuff in front of a grand jury, and a grand jury is 12 people, and 12 people found that that these two indictments could come down. So, if there was enough evidence, there was enough evidence.
Yeah, well, Earl, he's the one who brought the indictments. Now,
right,
now,
Ronnie Earl.
Yeah, now he's being followed by a camera crew shooting a reality show or movie or whatever it is. And so, they say he's playing a hero in the movie, and to have a good movie, he has to have some kind of a climax in the movie, and this is it, the indictment of Tom DeLay. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think an indictment should be a climax. I think that if you were to have a climax for a film, it would probably be somebody being charged or not charged, but found guilty. The indictment is really Tom DeLay is going to have really good lawyers, no doubt. Yeah. And but I think the thing that is important to remember again is that it's not just this guy saying, okay, well, he's indicted. It's 12 other people saying that that Tom DeLay's indicted.
Yeah.
In as much as like that, I think the reality thing is kind of weird, honestly. I'm not gonna lie. That's strange.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then he was on Rush Limbaugh's program the other day, and he was saying how this is ridiculous. It's a law that wasn't in effect. Whatever they accuse him of, it wasn't illegal until they just passed this law. And, so what he did predates this law, so he was saying this is crazy what he's being indicted for.
Yeah, and if that's true, it's like, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the case yet, but I'm definitely digging into it. But if that's true, it does feel like they're grandfathering in the indictment, and that's kind of strange as well. But is that the money laundering, or is that the other?
The money laundering. He said the law, there was no law. He didn't break any law because the law wasn't passed until just now. Just recently.
And it was. I think I read somewhere that his lawyer made kind of a mistake and waived the statute of limitations on that, or waived some sort of not the statute of limitations. It might have been that, but his lawyer made kind of a tactical error. And that's why they were able to charge him with that.
Yeah, and then the other big news was the Supreme Bowl. With Harriet Myers. Now, what do you think about her? And she's getting bad.
I don't know really what to think about her because she's kind of a, she's a little bit of a non-entity. I mean, she's well, I guess she's well respected in the legal community in Dallas, and she's well respected by Bush. But it honestly seems like the only reason that she is she was nominated is because she was one of Bush's lawyers.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Should she be playing? She's never sat on the bench.
Well, I was reading a blog recently, and they made a sports reference, so I'll make it too. I mean, it's as if you have you know Bull Durham, right? That great baseball movie.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Costner plays Crash Davis in that, and it's as if Crash Davis was brought up to play for the Yankees just because he was George Steinbrenner's, you know, like kind of friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Mm.
And what's interesting is not making a whole lot of sense to a lot of conservatives. They're saying that this is actually I've been reading a few places where this is kind of the straw that's breaking the camel's back, and that, you know, they're going to basically say, okay, well, if you're going to do this, if you're going to basically just nominate one of your cronies, which is the cronyism word is being thrown around everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're going to nominate one of your cronies, then you're going to pay for it in 2006.
Well, they're saying that's probably what he's doing. He wants to help the Republicans by throwing her up there, and that way the Republicans will have something to run against in 2006.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
I think that's a right. I think that's a really, 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 really bad strategy if that's what it's about. I mean, I don't necessarily think that, like, I don't think that that's a strategy. I mean, it's kind of strange because it was kind of interesting to see how the blogosphere was dealing with it because the moment her confirmation came out, a bunch of conservatives blogs said, who is this?
Mm.
You know, who is this person?
Yeah.
She. It doesn't seem like she's very intellectually curious because she hasn't published much. It doesn't seem like she's much of a legal scholar. She definitely doesn't have any judicial experience. It just seems like she has this connection with Bush.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Bush has even said, you know, it's like, I know what's in her heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's like, it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, well, that's fine, but, I think we need a little bit more when we're talking about somebody who is going to be a Supreme Court justice for life.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's really what's at issue here. It's a Supreme Court justice for life. But the conservatives sort of, you know, started to cry foul immediately. But then it was funny because it looked like the liberal blogosphere was saying, okay, well, the conservatives don't like this. Maybe we should like this.
Yeah, well, chat room, they're saying it seems that she is unknown from both sides, and unknowns have always turned liberal too.
Yeah, well, they were saying, yeah, possibly she could be a suitor, you know, or
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, I guess she was a little bit of a wild card. Yeah, but it was really interesting to see them say that, and then I found out later after the fact is that Harry Reid sort of suggested her to Bush. And I don't know. See, and that's where I think possibly the power play is going on, because I think that Harry Reid might have suggested her, and there's a possibility that Bush was like, okay, well, you know, actually I think that she is a good person, you know, and she could do a good job.
Well, yeah,
and has nominated her, and then as the liberal base might find out more and more about her record, you know, her record on, you know, her opinions on pro-choice, and, you know, the pro-choice issue or the Roe v. Wade issue, and other types of things, then the base will start building some momentum and push Reid to say, well, actually, you know what, I can't vote for you.
Yeah, well, once again, I'm joined by Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfant blog with our first political sports report. And then now, of course, also we had the Bill Bennett and his foul ball comment about abortion and black babies. I mean, they're just playing that over and over and over and over, you know, about he's saying that, you know, to take the extreme that to lower the crime rate in the United States, you'd have to abort every black child that's born. And he even said it's ridiculous and everything else, but they're beating him over the head with this.
Well, and, you know, I'm just gonna say right here, I think rightly so. And here's why. Bennett referenced a book called Freakonomics, and in the Freakonomics book, he said that, or the author Stephen Levitt said that there is correlation between higher abortion rates and lower crime rates. Now, Bennett, if you read the transcript carefully, Bennett said, "Now I don't agree with that," and I'm not. This is paraphrasing. I'm not saying word for word, but Bennett said that he doesn't agree with it. But what he does know is true is that if you aborted every black baby, you know, tomorrow, then the crime rate would go down. Mm-hmm. Now, even the author of Freakonomics, Stephen Levitt, said that that's Bill Bennett trying to have it both ways. Because on one hand, he's saying, no, I don't agree with the fact that a higher abortion rate means a lower crime rate. But on this other hand, I do agree that a higher abortion rate equals a lower crime rate. Mm. And he definitely qualified it after the fact. He said that's ridiculous, it's horrible, and I do not think at all that like he even considers, you know, that he would even consider that. I mean it's a horrible, ridiculous, you know, type of thing to think about. But the fact of the matter is he's rejecting it in one breath, and in the next breath, when he puts in the word black, mm-hmm. he's accepting it. And yeah. I think that's an important distinction. It's a logic problem.
Yeah.
And all I've asked on the blog, I mean, I've gotten into it with a couple people on Donklefon about this, and all I've asked is that, listen, this he made a mistake. He misspoke, right? Mm-hmm. And if he was really trying to make an absurd argument, then, hey, listen, fair enough, right? Mm-hmm. But admit that you misspoke instead of attacking your critics and saying, well, of course, you know, everybody knows that I'm not a racist. Like, well, if you're not, that's fine that you say that you're not a racist, but you didn't say it the right way.
Yeah.
And realizing that it's a radio show, hey, that's fine. You know, people make mistakes all the time when they talk. But just, you know, come on, let's get a little, you know, intellectual honesty in this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you definitely did say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and to be honest, the more and more that he, like, attacks, the more and more I think that, you know, he actually is maybe thinking that, all right, you know, there is something about the black culture that has something to do with criminality, mm-hmm. you know? And there is a connection, but it's not a racial connection.
Yeah.
It's a socioeconomic connection.
Exactly. Well, they're trying to hit him over the head with this because, you know, Bennett is a pro-life guy, and they're, you know, bashing him with this. And also, they're trying to do the same thing to him they did to Jimmy the Greek, and they did to,
name? Jimmy the Greek deserved it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous, dude.
But,
I mean, that's
yeah, but
extra muscles? Well, I mean, what was that about?
Yeah.
Right, you know, and breeding? I mean, that's, come on, that was,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I mean, Bennett is, you know, Bennett has made his bed,
mm-hmm.
and he can lie in it. And
mm-hmm.
and one half of the blogosphere is saying, you know, well, this is ridiculous. Obviously, he misspoke. And the other half is saying, well, you know, well, the, you know, yeah, you're right. It is ridiculous. Somebody mm-hmm. would even, you know, like talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't think anything is going to happen to him.
No.
But I do think that his credibility is, if it wasn't shot before when he, like, you know, spent millions upon millions in Vegas gambling,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely shot now. You know.
Yeah. And what about the fielder's choice there with the Indiana legislators are proposing a law that prohibits unmarried women to have children. So they're going to legislate to these women that they can't have children out of wedlock. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, basically they're talking about artificial insemination.
Oh, all right.
And I mean, John, mm. boy, I, you know, that's some Orwellian
mm.
nonsense right there. I mean, that's just, you, I mean, you have somebody trying to legislate, like, you know, somebody's right to have a child, right? And,
yeah.
And that's just, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't make much sense to me. And that's also presupposing that, two parents are better than one. And I think that we can see that more often than not, two parents can be better than one,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't necessarily make it true, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that that's true in all cases. Let me rephrase that.
Exactly.
True in all cases, right?
Yes.
And so, and it's coming from I believe, probably a moral point of view that is created because of probably religious beliefs. And we see that time and time again, you know, in legislation around the country, but this in particular is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and then of course we had the Bill O'Reilly doubleheader. O'Reilly started bashing the hell out of bloggers, you know, and the man doesn't even read them, you know. right?
And he freely admits that he doesn't read them. And you know, here's the thing: it's like O'Reilly's one of those pundits who has made a really big name for himself by you know, throwing really incendiary rhetoric out there. And mm-hmm. and the problem is that he's very good at it, and he's extremely successful too, and he has a large audience. And if you're loud enough and you have a large audience, people just tune in just to see what you're going to say next.
That's true.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest problems with our media right now. You have these kind of talking heads. I mean, the fact that Ann Coulter is still allowed to come on time and time and time again to these talk shows, mm-hmm. when she does not care. She will just call liberals straight up traitors,
yeah.
right? Just because you're a liberal, you're a traitor. And it's obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And somebody like O'Reilly is obnoxious,
yeah.
and he knows it. And so he's just going to he's going to throw anything that he wants out there. And sometimes he's right, but sometimes he is really wrong. And, you know, when you attack the entire blogosphere and you know, you say these sites are disgusting, but really what they're pointing out the fact that you have, you know, misspoken. Like that media, in particular, he's talking about Media Matters for America, which is a very, you know, very left-wing site.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I found out about the Bill Bennett thing, and I reviewed it, and I'm like, okay, well, they're being fair with this. I mean, this is pretty ridiculous. This is a pretty ridiculous thing that Bennett said.
Mm-hmm. Well, O'Reilly, I mean, he goes off on these things. I mean, even on his radio show, you're sitting there listening, like, what is he doing? I mean, he goes off on these tangents. Where is he going? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and the thing about it is, like, on talk radio, he's actually kind of mild. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have somebody like Michael Savage out there, the bar is set pretty low.
Yeah.
So, you know, when somebody probably tunes into Savage a little bit, and then he hears O'Reilly. He's like, okay, well, this guy's a little bit more reasonable. He kind of feels the same way I do. O'Reilly kind of wraps himself in this populist flag, you know. And he has some views that I agree with. You know, I don't. He disagrees with the death penalty laws, and I disagree too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so there are always issues that you can find common ground with people, but when people use this ridiculous rhetoric and they, you know, and seemingly really just to get rating, it works, but
yeah.
it harms the conversation.
Well,
and
O'Reilly,
I think that's what he's doing.
Well, O'Reilly, really, he's got the, you know, the best ratings of all the shows. I mean, I was looking at the cable, with the top 20, and he's the only, news show that's in the top 20 from last week. And then, but 2 weeks ago, I saw that Hannity and Combs actually had a program that actually beat O'Reilly. I thought, wow, that's a chink in the armor if, Hannity and Combs are actually beating O'Reilly. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but still, it's like, I mean, I don't think Rupert Murdoch cares, right? I mean, it's basically like, oh, okay, so either Hannity's winning or, you know, O'Reilly's winning.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we're talking about Fox News, we're talking about conservative commentators, people
mm-hmm.
who are more often going to tune into Fox News are going to be more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And shows like Hannity and Combs in particular, I mean, they bring on Ann Coulter all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the right of the argument, and, you know, and Combs and Coulter usually argue, and, you know, and she laughs him off, and Combs usually makes a few good points, and it's like, oh, you're just ridiculous. You're a liberal. I'll let you, you know, I'll let you live.
Yeah.
So, so, you know, the whole ratings thing aside, then O'Reilly made another gaffe where he was talking to Wesley Clark, and he blamed a certain massacre on the United States when it was actually the Nazis.
Yeah,
World War II.
With Wesley Clark, I think it was last night with the massacre at Malbody. Said it was the United States, and it was the Nazis who did the massacre. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think of that? Did you watch the interview with Wesley Clark? I thought it was outstanding. Those two went head to head.
No, actually, you know what? I didn't catch the interview. I just read the transcript, it read like a really, you know, interesting segment. But yeah, I mean, like, things like that's the type of stuff that I feel that, you know, when I've watched O'Reilly, when he is fact checked, he does that type of stuff. And I again, I don't know if he misspoke. But he seemed to make a pretty specific point to make sure that I think it was the 82nd Airborne.
Yeah.
Was the ones who perpetrated that massacre. And I just, it's like, I mean, I'm wondering if his researchers, I mean, you know, these teams of people behind the scenes researching these facts, I mean, I'm wondering if the researchers were wrong or not.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, and also to tell Wesley Clark that, you know, this career military guy, you know, about military history is a little bit, well, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm going to argue with you on your terms and your, yeah, you know, and on your ground, and then you're going to tell me about military history and get the thing completely, you know, completely backward. Okay, well, yeah, whatever, Bill.
Well, then, Wesley Clark, I mean, you know, the two of them were, you know, going back and forth over Iraq, and then, you know, it just, you know, O'Reilly, he actually started cutting him off a few times during an interview. It's like, and it's...
Well, like that's any surprise.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Well, and then Wesley Clark was on a few weeks ago, and everybody was questioning if O'Reilly was going to bring him back because the... they say, well, bring you on in a week or so, and you know, and see, you know, about this, and talk more about Iraq. And everybody, oh, he'll never bring him on because those two argued back then too. So at least O'Reilly seems like he's a man of his word because he brought him back, you know, Wesley Clark back on the program.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I mean, hey, no doubt. I mean, you know, hey, kudos to him. But also, I mean, think about it this way, Sean. I mean, you get into a very vigorous debate where both people make, you know, kind of. Both people kind of have their say, especially it's Wesley Clark, somebody who's a former Democratic, one of the Democratic presidential hopefuls.
Yeah.
I'd have him back on my show, right? I mean, because this is somebody who traditionally, I mean, would you see John Kerry? Would you see John Edwards? Would you see, I mean, any of these other guys come on O'Reilly?
Because never.
They don't want to, in part because I don't think that they want to sanction his. Or give credence to his approach,
mm-hmm,
to political debate,
yeah,
because it's this type of political debate that I think is harming the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's just these talking heads, you know, who yell at each other and cut each other off, and that's not where understanding happens. That's not where actually real. That's what it is. It's entertainment. That's
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah.
And Clark is using it for promotion purposes. And O'Reilly is using it for ratings purposes. And until the viewers who are tuning in get sick of this, this is the type of stuff that we're going to keep having and keep having. And I think it's sad, and that's the type of... I'm trying to change that, actually, in the blogosphere with Donklefon. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. But, it, you know...
It's not easy.
Keep going up and up, you know, so it's a bit of a daunting task.
Yeah, it's not easy. And then now, of course, before we let you go, we got a couple minutes. Tomorrow is the big speech that President Bush is going to give about Iraq tomorrow morning, which is strange. It's rare for a president to give a morning speech, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's odd. I don't know why he's, you know, giving a morning speech unless the networks don't want to give up the time, I don't think, for their the primetime lineups, I would imagine, because it's the fall season. But he's doing a morning speech about Iraq, and so we'll see how that goes. And then now we're looking at, next week, any big matchups we see for next week?
Big matchups that we see
any
week?
Big
well, I think the Harriet... the heat's going to be turned up on the Harriet Myers thing.
Mm.
I believe that, you know, we're gonna see some more stuff, you know, about her, and we're going to. I think people are going to the conversation's going to even out a little bit more, and I think people are going to start to really really pick sides on this issue.
Really,
I also think the biggest story of next week is going to be this spy in the White House.
Oh yes, yeah, that was yeah, yeah, that yeah,
that's
a surprise.
That's a pretty big deal, and I mean, it's not like he was some. Well, I don't think that there's. I was thinking about Al Qaeda there. I don't necessarily know if he was if he has any Al Qaeda connections. I doubt he does, but he was
Filipino.
Former Philippine national and working in the White House for. About 3 years,
spying.
Under Gore and under Cheney,
yeah,
and stole some documents, and it looks like, here's a strange thing. A strange thing is that he was arrested on September 10th, and we're only finding out about it now. So that I just don't, I don't know why that is. I mean, it was just something I think that the press overlooked.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, you have this spy in the White House, and that is that's pretty much unprecedented.
Yeah, and then you have Sandy Berger in trouble again. He's one of the foreign policy advisor to President Clinton, and he was put on probation for stealing those documents accidentally, of course, from the National Archives. And then they pulled him over for speeding. He was going 84 in a 55 mile an hour zone, and they pulled him over again. And they're saying this is a possible probation violation. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, it is a probation violation.
Yeah.
But I mean, he has good lawyers. I unless the judge wants to make an example of him, which I doubt that he would, or he or she would, I think that, you know, that's going to go away really quickly.
Yeah. And before we let you go, how's the blog doing, Dunkelfin? You guys doing real well?
Oh, the blog's doing great. We just added a new author, Jonathan York. He is he's actually a teacher of political science, and he has developed a method to test where somebody's true political leanings lie.
Really?
It's called the Leo test, and it stands for liberty, quality, and order.
Wow.
And liberty being what libertarians believe in most, quality is being what liberals believe in most, and order being what conservatives believe in most. And he just announced, I've been talking to him for a little while now, a couple months. And he has a pretty fascinating test that kind of shows where somebody lies in on the kind of the political Leo, right?
Wow.
And we're going to put the test to politicians, potential candidates, other bloggers, see what the results are. We're not saying anything is conclusive, but I think it's pretty interesting to kind of measure the rhetoric and see
what's going on. You there? Oh, I think we lost him. Justin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. And I think we lost you for a second there. And then
One more thing. The decision for the CIA leak case is coming out very soon.
Oh, really?
So that's going to be a big one. That's been how many years in the making? 2 years in the making. So
whose decision is that? Is it Porter Goss's decision or?
No.
Who's that? The Justice Department?
I believe it's the special prosecutor. Prosecutor investigating, yeah.
Well, where's Novak? I hope Novak hasn't spent any time in jail over this. You know what I'm saying?
Nobak's been really... Miller, I guess. Yeah, Judith Miller has.
She's writing a book.
I think that he struck a deal, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's just not talking about it.
Huh.
So, that's his prerogative. I personally, it's one of those things where it's like I was always kind of curious why Judith Miller went to jail, because it seemed like Libby had said that she was totally, free and clear.
Yeah.
But what happened is she is kind of putting a little bit more of the she's pointing a little bit more of the finger at Libby when she I think she probably had other sources that didn't clear her. That's pure speculation. That's just my gut telling me.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's going to happen.
Well,
that's what's going to come out later.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. Once again, this is Justin from the Dunkelfin blog, which is an excellent blog, part of the B5 Media. Is that where it is?
No, actually,
you're not?
It's not part of B5 Media.
Oh, I thought you were going to be part of that, no?
No, that's one of those things that B5 actually owns all of their sites, and I own Dunkelfin.
Oh.
Duncan and I talked when it first started, and I own the URL, and he loved the idea, became part of the weblog empire. So actually right now we're looking for other networks, because a lot of the weblog empire sites are going to be obviously folded into the B5 Media. So if anybody's listening and you are interested in moderate blog, I'm talking to some people right now, but if you have a network, if you're running a network, just email me at justin@donklafont.com, and we'll talk. So.
Okay. Well, Justin Gunner, we thank you for being on the program.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Sean.
There's our organist saying na na na, hey, hey, goodbye to you. All right?
All right, man. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And there we go. That's the little cheesy organ music. I don't think Diggs ever thought organ music would be played on LB Rock before.
Well, let's actually listen to it. It's good stuff.
It's lovely.
I'm really getting into this.
Nah, hey, hey, goodbye. It's a classic song, and they play all the sporting events. And they started playing it in the Major League Sports in Chicago in 1978 at Comiskey Park. So that's why. And that's from the organist at Comiskey Park, Nancy Faust. That's her recording of the song. She plays it every time the White Sox win, of course.
Yeah, it's really bad you even know that, and you found it.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
I go to, what the hell is it called? TheFlyingSock.com, which is the White Sox interactive website. I'm telling you, it's the best damn White Sox website there is, you know?
Oh, is it the only one?
The only one. It's a fan site for the White Sox. So, once again, thank Nancy Faust for that wonderful music interlude on Subject to Discussion. See, the fans are revving up there. You look at and get Harry Carey on here singing, take me out to the ball game. So we get to thank Justin Gardner from the Donkelfin for being on our political sports report. Yeah, it was a little cheesy, corny, but that's all right, I guess. So, whoa, now we move, what a segue, from Nana Hake, from Nancy Faust, White Sox organist, to Battlestar Galactica.
Dude.
Oh, you want to hear the music?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Put me in the mood.
Wow.
Well, the lights are dark enough here. Kind of, it looks like the Galactica set. We got these damn spotlights coming down. Where's the shaky camera? Am I shaking on the camera? I mean, am I shaking? So, and who's the other guy talking? That's Mr. Snerdly. No.
Yeah, I'm Snerdly.
That's Mark, the producer of the show. And we just want to talk about the Battlestar Galactica magazine. Anybody wants to call him with any Galactica news? I know Caravaggio said he had some news.
Oh, wait. We got a message coming in.
Oh, we do.
Huh?
There you go.
By your command.
There you go.
See that the humans remain entertained until the end.
Absolutely. Whoa, the music's starting up again. Sean switching from the Cubbies to the White Sox. Are you kidding me? I've always been a White Sox fan. So, anyway, I want to talk about the Battlestar Galactica. My sister sent two copies, which I gave Mark here one of them. It's $7 for this magazine. Jeez.
That's what, $10,000 Canadian?
It's a third of the sponsorship to the program right here. And we thank her. But, I mean, the magazine's okay, but, I mean, there's nothing in there that, you know, we don't really want to. Where's the mention of the program? I don't see any mention of Subject to Discussion at all in this damn magazine. You know, but, I'm having problems getting the guests on again from the series. I was told three times this week that, I won't be getting anybody on until January. It's going to be Alessandro Giuliani Gaeta. So, but what about the Serenity? So, if you want to call in with any Galactica talk, you want to talk about the magazine, 702-383-8120 or 1-866-587-6257. And we'll just go through the magazine. We got the pictures of George Lucas. Oh, no, that's not Lucas. That's Ronald D. Moore. He looks an awful lot like George Lucas. And, I mean, some of this, I guess it's a good magazine. $7, it better be a damn good magazine. And then we have the picture of Katie Sackhoff, Trisha Helfer, and Grace Park, who plays Boomer on the show. Very lovely. Lovely, lovely. Trisha's wearing this pull-up black dress, the way
that
it looks.
Is
it's
pretty
pulling
good.
Up her breasts. So it's very nice, and it talks about the key episodes as the filming resumes on Battlestar Galactica's second season. So they said they want to get the filming done for the second season by December 6th, so they'll be off before Christmas and get the shows ready for the January premiere. Who else is on here? About the episodes, about Scattered and the Valley of Darkness and Resistance and all. And hello, then we got the picture of Six.
There's a lot of racy pictures in this magazine.
Surprisingly. Yeah. And then this picture here of Apollo standing over the fallen Adama there in the hospital bed in the infirmary there when he's about ready to go off with Rosalind from the ship. And in the official companion, I haven't seen the official companion yet. I can imagine how much that's going to cost, but I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? Are you going to any bookstores? They doesn't say how much it costs, but it hasn't come out yet.
$18, probably $18, $20
At least 40,
and then
you think?
50,000 Canadian.
Yeah, and Titan Books is putting that out. Titan Magazine puts out the magazine. Titan Books is putting out the companion. So, and it also is going to be a comic book and everything else.
A comic book?
Yeah. Where are we at here? Tor Books has recently acquired the rights to publish a range of original novels. So we have novels, comic books, magazines, and the DVDs are all coming
out.
Hey,
is that going to be any of the stuff that Richard Hatch was talking about, where he's got all the stories and all that stuff? Is any of that going to be?
I don't think so. And you know what? They're going to come out with the first 10 episodes of the second season in time for Christmas. Sci-Fi Channel is going to crank out the first 10 we've just seen.
Cool.
Yeah. And then they're going to come out with the second 10 after we see those. And then they're going to come out with a 20-episode package later next year as well.
Good deal.
So, but, I mean, yeah, but how many times are you going to go to the well, you know, with the money for these DVDs? You know what I'm saying? Because I still haven't gotten the DVD for the first season. Now I'm going to crank out money for the 10 episodes of the second season. I'm going to wait till the full second season DVD package comes out.
They're going to get me just like the what's his name? They all got me with the original discs for all of the Lord of the Rings, and then you had to go out and buy the extended ones.
Yeah.
Oh. I bought those too.
Yeah, actually, Scully Girl is saying it comes out in October. The companion is about $15. Oh, no way. That's going to be more than $15. How many pages is that companion going to be then if it's only $15? And what else we have?
Definitely not a hardback.
Well, I got something hard here right now looking at this picture of Trisha Helfer.
Jeez, I didn't want to know that.
Hello. Yeah, there she is in her red dress. She's always wearing
If you keep talking about her like that, she's never coming on here.
She is outstanding. In all these promotional pics for the series, she's always in that same red dress with the lasers coming out of her eyes. You know, we've never seen the red lights come out of her eyes. And then we have the interview with Edward James Olmos in the magazine, No Easy Walk to Freedom. Almost talks about the how Galactica has come and where the path ahead can take him. So it's not like he's really into the show, which is very good. It means he's going to stick around for a while. At least I hope he does anyway. He says that the show is as dramatic as The West Wing and The Sopranos. So I said it before. It's like a Dallas in space almost. There's several pictures of him. This is from the first season because hair isn't parted like it is in the second season. Right now, it's the images from the first season with hair pulled back. You know what I mean? What else we have? And then we have the product placement with Ike and Moore on there. So it's a solid magazine, very high quality. I like the paper. Talking about the Captain's Courageous, about Apollo. So he had quite a season as well, and he wasn't as prominent as I thought as he was in the first season. He had those few episodes at the beginning with Rosalind, and he kind of dwindled away there towards the end. At least I thought so. And what about Galactica figures? So action figures were announced by Majestic. Yes. So we actually have a guest on. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. How may we help? Whatever the hell it is, you're on the air.
Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is my name's Drew, a.k.a. Sick Sick Heretic.
Hey, what's going on? From Galactica Actual, correct?
Yeah, that's right. How's it going, man?
Very good, very good. Welcome to the program. I signed up on your message board there, so.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, just to give a quick intro to those out there that haven't stopped by Galactica Actual, we recently changed some things around. We've got a whole bunch of new spoilers up. Caravaggio provided us with some great info for next season.
Really? Give us a couple of them.
Oh, wait. We got to give out the spoiler alert first.
Spoiler alert.
Because I came prepared. I have one.
Ah, what's the big spoiler?
Okay, well, this episode that we're going to talk about in particular real quick here is going to be episode 216, which might be called tentatively The Captain's Hand.
Uh-oh.
And basically we've got some script cuts for the spoiler. It looks like in the particular one we have on our site that basically Lee's going to the Pegasus. He's been promoted to major.
Wow.
And he gets into a little sort of spat with Kara and starts to now he's basically what it is he's caught in between Kara and being a bridge officer on the Pegasus, because I guess Lee's moving up in the world. So this is all going to be interesting. And apparently, long story short, they lose a couple of Raptors and they are trying to organize a mission to go find people. So that's what we have so far, but that's a major thing that Lee's getting promoted to major.
Major on the Pegasus, huh?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be on the Pegasus, and we don't know for how long. But I'm guessing since the Pegasus is in, you know, a semi-decently long story arc, he may be for a couple episodes, and we'll see what happens from there.
Well, if it's 216, I mean, the Pegasus is obviously going to stick around for a while then, because...
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks that way.
Yeah, now any clues what's going to happen to Kane? I mean, any spoilers about that?
Well, what we have basically is we have her getting killed off in about the shortly after Resurrection Ship. So she's either going to get the Deep Six on Resurrection Ship or the next episode afterwards. She's not going to last too much.
Really?
Longer.
Huh, yeah, because, well, Koenig rules, and he had said he had heard that she's not going to make it out of the 11th episode.
I'm pretty much guessing she's going to get the Deep Six on Resurrection Ship because, you know, you go into this whole storyline, I mean, they kind of tend to focus on Fisk because Fisk gets promoted to take command, and, of course, you know, the major thing out there, I'm sure everybody has heard that Commander Adama will be Admiral Adama. So yeah, the rank structure is going to change a little bit.
I guess
we're gonna
so
see a lot of interesting changes
now. So he'll be over both the ships, the Galactica and the Pegasus, correct?
Oh yeah, he'll be over the entire fleet.
Wow. Yeah, so who promotes him, Roslin or who?
I would venture to say it's going to be Roslin that promotes him, because they're going to do everything officially, and since she's the president, she's going to end up promoting him.
Huh. Now, we also had the spoiler about Billy going to get killed off in these second 10 episodes. Have you been able to confirm that?
As far as my sources and Caravaggio's sources, I mean, we're pretty sure of it, but they haven't 100% confirmed it. You know, again, when you get these spoilers, I mean, they're mostly for fun. I mean, they're the initial stuff from the pre-draft scripts, and a lot of it gets changed around, but... you know, there's always the good old contractual obligations.
There you go.
So I don't think that we may see Billy because he probably got a lucrative offer to be on another show. So.
Yeah. Now, what about Roslin? Now, we had a spoiler. Is that the doctor or Baltar is actually going to save her life with a stem cell transplant, some stem cells from a Cylon into her? I don't know if you heard about that one.
Yeah, we actually have that up. We have that up. Caravaggio and I, you know, we got a hold of that, and we have that up on the forum. I mean, as long as people stop by, you register, you can hit our exclusive BSG spoilers forum, and you can jump right in there and read them all. And, yeah, that's in there. So apparently, you know, Rosalind's going to get a reprieve, and she's going to get her life saved.
Wow, because I thought they're going to kill her off, but sometime in the season to save on the money. You know, she gets paid quite a bit of money to doing that show. You know, Mary McDonnell.
Yeah, that's going to really screw up all the stuff about the scrolls and all the religious aspect.
That's what I was thinking too, because they have that big prophecy of, you know, she's the dying leader and she has to fulfill that. Well, she's not technically fulfilling the prophecy then, is she?
Yeah. Well, yeah. She hasn't, you know, not fulfilled them, and you know, it's a long way to go. She could die. You know.
Cylons could do what I was telling you before, making all the prophecies come true. They could kill her off by poisoning her or doing whatever.
Blow up her
make
ship.
Her a dying prophet.
Yeah, the Cylons could take her out, too.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Yeah. But at least, you know, like I said, we are kind of blessed to at least keep Mary around, because I'll tell you what, her and almost just, I mean, they carry that show, and then the supporting actors around them are just absolutely great.
Yeah, actually, Koenig Rules is in the chat room. He's saying that Kane gets it from Gina in episode 211. So Gina is that Cylon on the Pegasus that somehow Kane's going to bite it to get it from Gina.
Well, see, you know, me and one of the other admins on the site, we were talking the other day, and we think how it's going to go down is that Baltar is going to slip Gina a weapon. And that's how we think it's going to go down. Now, I mean, that's complete speculation. We're just bantering back and forth, but we think Baltar is going to sneak her a gun.
Wow.
And she's going to just pop Kane at the very, you know, least moment that Kane would expect it.
Huh. And then he's also saying there's some mention of War of the Gods possibly being reimagined for the Season 2 cliffhanger.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You know, I've heard some speculation out there, and, I mean, this is complete speculation. We don't know if this is true, but we've heard that, you know, people have been considering, and, you know, I'm sure that RDM's tossed the idea around, but the idea of making Zack Adama the Imperious leader would be an interesting way to go.
Wow.
But nobody knows for sure if that's going to happen or not.
Oh, so Zack Adama be the Imperious leader of the Cylons? That'd be something.
Well, I mean, if you think about it theoretically, it'd be easy to do, considering the fact that supposedly Zack died in a plane accident. Nobody's seen him since then.
Oh.
And we know that the Cylons can easily make copies of people.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. And so it won't be Muffet?
That is true.
So Muffet won't be the Cylon god? No?
I doubt that.
Did you hear my show? I had Muffin on a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, that was classic, dude. That was classic.
Wait a minute. Oh, there he is.
What's up, Muffin?
Muffin's talking to you. Muffin's the Cylon god. He'll be. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Sean, you have to go stop by the board and read my top 10 lists. We made some funny top 10 lists in the general discussion section of. You know, I came up with those about the real reason why the TOS people have been all up in arms lately and they don't like the new series. And they're all tongue-in-cheek. They're really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they hate this that Muffet's been such a prominent character on my program, too.
Yeah, they hated that big time.
Some of the things on the list, one of the reasons that we have on one of the lists that the TOS people are mad is because they don't have the silly little trolley taking the pilots planes anymore.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's the music. We're almost out of time there.
I just want to give out the site address real quick.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Vernon Vision Freeboard. It's HTTP, you know, s13.envisionfree.com/galactica_actual/index.php.
Wow, that's a title.
Can you actually just search for Galactica Actual?
Well, we don't show up on search engines, so you kind of, you know, have to cut and paste it, get the link out. But if you can post it in your chat room, you know, a lot of people can get it that way, or post it on the LV Rock site or link us.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, we get the subject to discussion site up, we'll have to put a link
up
there for you.
Or you can go to my blog and post it on there in the comments on my blog. It's subject2discussion.com. So
yeah.
You could do that, too. So, All right.
Well, look forward to seeing you on the board, guys.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And that was Sick Sick Heretic from the Galactica Actual site. So we appreciate him being on the program. Wow, he gave us some good spoilers.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and I was going through the magazine. They have this section here with the Starbuck giving some kind of action report. About some, you know, I mean, some of it's, you know, make believe. Starbucks patrolling the fleet or whatever this is. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm gonna probably have to read this thing all the way through and do a report on it.
Yeah.
Period.
And then a personnel file about Tom Zarek. We got the personnel file in there. So some of this, you know, and then the CIC overview. So we got about the weapons, 24 railgun turrets as well as over 500 point defense turrets.
Oh man,
at its disposal.
You
so,
know, this
wow.
is this is gonna get really bad when the Galactica goes and starts shooting. People are gonna start counting the tracer round sets.
They're
shooting 26 guns. You can't do that.
Well, he said that they only have how many nuclear missiles left. That was in the first season. So we got hey man, Thomas said only four left or whatever the hell it was. So where are the girls at? Where's the wild women in Vegas? And next week, I don't have anybody from the series booked yet, so maybe Mark here will do his review of the magazine. We'll start talking to Stargate people. I contacted Sci-Fi. They're useless. I'll have to go through MGM, I guess. They're the ones that produce Stargate.
Well, I'm
going
to have to get you the... I think I've got like 6 or 7 seasons of episodes of just regular Stargate.
Yeah, so we'll see. Koenig Rules is saying we will see Iblee, so Iblee will be coming. So anyway, stay tuned next for whatever the hell is on next. I don't know what's going to be. And tomorrow is Daily Noise from 10 till 12, and then the Wise Guys from 12. 12 to 2, and then Papa Joe Chevalier from 4 till 7 o'clock, and then Friday is Spankwagon from 7 till 9. Sunday is Tap Out. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.